Hello everyone listening online, Stuart and Jodie here from Carey Baptist Church in Malton in Northamptonshire. It's good to have you joining with us to worship together. We're now entering the second week of Advent and this Sunday we'll be back again in church on Sunday with our limited gathering, but it's good to be here for those of you that can't make it or those who are listening from further afield. Because it's Advent, we'll light our Advent candle. So I'm going to light that now for the second week of Advent. We light this candle, remembering all the prophets from the Old Testament who looked forward to their coming Messiah, whom we know in Jesus. We give you thanks for their witness, for their courage, for their bravery. Amen. And let us pray. Father, in this season of Advent, as we prepare our hearts and our minds to celebrate again the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray that you will send your Holy Spirit to enliven our hearts and our minds, to prepare him room. And we pray that in this small gathering of worship today, that you would come to us afresh, that you would speak to us afresh. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our scripture reading today is from the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 to 11. Isaiah 40, 1 to 11.
And it's titled, Comfort for God's People. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, and every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall because of the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young.
Thank you, Jodie. Just one thing I forgot to mention at the beginning is that because it's the first Sunday in the month, we celebrate communion. So if you want to participate in that part of our worship, then press pause and go and get yourself some bread or wine or liquid equivalent. And we'll be celebrating that after the sermon. So let us pray. Father, as we seek to reflect on your word and apply it to our lives now, we pray that your Holy Spirit would come, that it would become a living word to us, to speak into our lives, to bring us words of comfort and consolation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The second week of Advent, the focus is on the Old Testament prophets who point forward to the coming Messiah. The prophets critiqued the rulers of their day. They denounced injustice and defended the widow, the orphan, the stranger, the poor, and the marginalized. But they also look forward in hope, promising restoration from exile, in some cases, like the passage we have just heard from Isaiah. The prophets denounced, but they also consoled. And Isaiah is here offering words of comfort and consolation to his people. Isaiah's message is for people whose whole world has been shattered. They are living in exile in Babylon after the temple and Jerusalem itself have been destroyed and razed to the ground. We're talking here of the years of exile from about 586 BC to 538 BC. And God has told Isaiah to comfort his people. In verse 1, he says, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God." When I think of this passage from Isaiah, I think of the words from Handel's Messiah, "Comfort ye my people." I won't try and sing it for you, but I suggest you listen to it online if you want to be reminded of those words or you're not familiar with that beautiful piece of work. And then he says, "Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord double for all her sins." So God has told Isaiah to speak tenderly to Jerusalem, to speak symbolically to her, to tell her that her sins, that her rebellion has been forgiven. And then it talks about return in verse 3, a voice of one calling, "In the wilderness, prepare a way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." So symbolically, a road for return from exile is being imagined as the people return from Babylon through back to Jerusalem. And there's parallels here between Israel's exile and our own situation. Not as severe, but during the last 9 months, it has felt like a kind of exile, not being able to gather together at times, and when we can gather, with severe limitations. Oh, how we long for the past to return, although the future will be different as it was for the people of Israel as they long to return to their homeland. In our present circumstances, we do have comfort on the way. Future vaccines and the hope of a new normal. But we can never return to the past. And we need to trust that God will prepare a way for us as he prepared a way for the people of Israel in the wilderness. In the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. That God will make a way for us too in the wildernesses in which we find ourselves. Isaiah looks forward to God's glory being revealed by Israel returning from exile in verse 5. "And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all the people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." We see that glory in Jesus, and we look forward to God's glory being fully revealed at Jesus's second coming. And this is our ultimate hope, our future hope. We celebrate and remember at Christmas time Jesus's coming as a baby, but we look forward to the end of history when Jesus will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. And that is our ultimate future hope. We look forward in hope the hope that we have in Jesus, even in these difficult times. In our society, in our culture, this pandemic has brought to the surface the lack of hope that many have, many of our neighbours and many of our friends. They are in exile with hope, without hope. And we are called to point people to the source of our hope. In 1 Peter, verses 3 to 5, it says, verse 15. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you for the reason for the hope you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. We are called to share the hope that we have with others with gentleness and respect, to point them to the source of our hope. Many do not know. The words in verse 11 express it well. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those who have young. Many do not know. We have a loving shepherd God who cares for us. This Advent, this Christmas, may we point others to the God who came into our midst as a child, to be Emmanuel, God with us, and to save us and set us free from sin and death. And if that isn't good news of comfort and joy this season, I don't know what is. We'll now move to celebrate communion together. So if you don't have any bread and wine and you want to participate in this, and you're all very welcome, then press pause and go and get some bread or wine or juice and come back and join us. Let's just take a moment to gather ourselves. So come to this table, not because you must, but because you may. Not because you're strong, but because you're weak. Come not because any goodness of your own gives you a right to come, but because you need mercy and help. Come because you love the Lord a little and would like to love him more. Come because he loved you and gave himself for you. Come and meet the risen Christ, for we are his body. I am the bread of life, Jesus told them. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Christ is our peace. He has reconciled us to God in one body by the cross. We meet in his name and share his peace. So although we're in our own homes, let's share peace across the Wi-Fi with each other. So the peace of the Lord be with you. Peace be with you, Jody. Peace be with you. Let's listen now to the words of the institution of the Lord's Supper as passed down to us by the Apostle Paul. For the tradition which I handed on to you came to me from the Lord himself, that on the night of his arrest, the Lord Jesus took some bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper and said, "This cup is a new covenant sealed by my blood. Whenever you drink this, do so in memory of me. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes." And as Jesus gave thanks for the bread and the wine, we likewise give thanks. Eternal God and Father, we offer you our praise and thanksgiving for the creation of your world in all its richness and glory, for your gracious work of redemption in liberating the oppressed, renewing the weary and forgiving the sinful, for your calling of men and women and children to share in the work of salvation, in the story of Israel and the prophets and our story. We thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord, the eternal Word made flesh, sharing our humanity and revealing your love and compassion, for his life and ministry in word and action, his lifting up of the lowly and healing of the broken, for his redeeming death on the cross for all humanity, of which this bread and this cup are the symbol and sign. We thank you for raising him to life again and exalting him so that we might call him Lord as we offer him our allegiance and seek to share his way. We thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit, powerfully present in your people and your world, for the fellowship of your church, for all the means of grace and the hope of glory. Living God, fill us with your Spirit, that as we share this bread and this wine, we may feed on the body and blood of Christ and be empowered for your service in your world. Accept our prayers and thanksgiving in the name of Jesus Christ, the light of the world and the hope of your people. Amen. So take your bread. And Jesus took the bread and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in memory of me." So let's take this bread and share and remember his body broken for us. Jody, body of Christ broken for you.
Body of Christ broken for you.
Amen. So now take the cup and remember and give thanks that Christ's blood was shed for you, and be thankful. The blood of Christ shed for you.
Blood of Christ shed for you.
Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him, we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. Now, one of our church members, one of our deacons, Chris Hampson, is going to lead us in some prayers of intercession.
As we approach another Christmas, we think in our prayers today about some of the circumstances surrounding Jesus coming to live amongst us and the way they resonate still in our own day and age. So we pray together. Jesus was born amongst us, and there was no room available for him to have a comfortable birth. We pray for people in our own day and age for whom there are no maternity services, as in many underdeveloped countries. We pray that resources might be made available through aid and trade, so that mothers might not dread the act of giving birth, and so that infant mortality might be reduced to the same levels that we have in the rich world. We're concerned, Father, at the way that our government has cut the overseas aid budget to make things easier for us without regard to the needs of the people in our world who have so little, and ask that levels of aid might be restored. Jesus was born amongst us, and his parents couldn't find a decent place to stay. We pray for people in our own day and age, in our own society, for whom settled accommodation isn't available. We pray for those huge numbers of people who are forced to surfer serve, or who still live in doorways or tents, who are still dying on our streets for lack of warmth and accommodation, despite the measures that were taken earlier this year in the immediate virus crisis. Father, we thank you for organisations which seek to provide temporary accommodation over the winter months, and pray that their efforts will enable homeless people to move towards a settled home. We thank you for our own local organisations which responded to the crisis and found permanent housing for many of our local homeless people. We pray for staff and volunteers who work with those homeless people who still need assistance. We pray for providers of rented housing, that they will be helped to resist the temptation to make quick profits by dispossessing needy people of a home. Jesus was born amongst us, and before long his parents were forced to flee from their own country by a hostile regime. We pray for people in our own day and age who are forced from their home by war and by oppression. We pray about the continuing refugee crisis in Europe, and that governments both in the UK and in the rest of Europe will have a more open-handed response. We particularly pray about the plight of children still abandoned in camps despite government promises of help. We pray that the causes of the refugee crisis, especially in terms of wars in the Middle East, might be eradicated. And we pray for people in the wider world who have been forced from their homes by oppressive governments and whose plight we've forgotten about because they've disappeared from our television screens. We pray that justice might be done for them. Jesus was born amongst us in a country under enemy occupation. We pray for people in our own day and age who live under oppressive regimes and long for freedom. We pray for the people of Palestine who remain in an occupied state, and the people who have had their homes bulldozed to provide for illegal settlements. We pray for the people of Israel, oppressed themselves by the fear of annihilation unless they maintain their security. We think of the people of Hong Kong, the people of Tibet, the Uyghur people in China, and the people of North Korea. We pray for places where there is continuing war, and we think again of the people of Yemen, where war has produced a continuing humanitarian crisis. We remember the people of Tigray in Ethiopia, where there is civil strife, and pray for peace to be brokered there. And we end our time of prayer together, as in a few moments of silence, we pray for people we know who are sick, or who have recently lost people they love, and as we bring our own concerns to the Father. we bring our prayers in the name of Jesus, born amongst us to show us how to live with one another. Amen.
Thank you, Chris, for your prayers, and we'll close now with a blessing. Look forward in hope to the coming of your Saviour. Prepare the way for Christ your Lord. Welcome him with love and faith when he comes in glory. And the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you this day and always. Amen. Thank you for joining with us, and we'll be here online next week as well if you want to come and join us. Go well and God bless.